covered, we're up to part three of the question of why does Hashem want us to shake leaves. We discussed the idea of Hashem connecting to mankind. We discussed the idea of mitzvot being eternal. We discussed the Ran. We discussed the Baal HaTanya. We discussed the idea of a reason for mitzvot. We discussed the Mishnah of Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha. We discussed the idea of philosophies before Torah, knowing to discern between a reason that the Torah teaching me morals and ethics versus this being the reason of why Hashem said something, and the idea that things should have a reason and that we have a very hard time connecting if we can't see a reason for what we're doing. And it is important for us to understand, at least get a glimpse, a taste of what the mitzvot teach us, even if we can't really understand the reasoning behind it of what Hashem was thinking, but nonetheless have what to learn from the mitzvot. So what's the idea behind the four species? So the Midrash gives us many concepts in the mitzvah of the four species, and maybe we'll see if they don't blend together. The first thing that we all know is that the Midrash says that when Am Yisrael goes into Rosh Hashanah, there's this fierce debate. Well, I'm good, thank you. There's an amazing debate going on between us and the nations. Rosh Hashanah is judgment day for the whole world, and there's this constant friction between us and the nations. Just like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says will happen in the future time, so too on Rosh Hashanah, as Hashem is coming to judge the world, there's this friction, the question of who's going to come out on top. It's not just the judgment of the individual. It's not just the judgment of the community, the city, the country, the people. It's the world at large, and it's each man for himself, each community for himself, each family for themselves, each nation for themselves, and there is this competition between us and the nations. And when we end Rosh Hashanah, it says that the nations walk out of Rosh Hashanah, their angel walks out of Rosh Hashanah, and he looks at the Jewish people and says, hey, who do you think won? And we say, we'll show you. And we move on to Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. And then we come out of Yom Kippur, and there used to be a minhag that when you walked out of court, so the one who was victorious would hold up like a flag, a big stick. And so the Midrash Rabbah says that we were given the mitzvah of holding the lulav. That's our big stick. That's our sign that we won. That's our sign that we came out of Yom Adin, and we were victorious. So wait a second, what did we win? For centuries, for millennium, the nations have been pounding us. Who won? What does that mean, we won? So here we have to understand a little bit better what the four species represent. What are we doing when we walk into Sukkot? What are we so happy about? V'samachta b'chagecha. What am I supposed to be happy about, right? V'itach samech. My older brother used to tease me when I was a little boy. He used to say, it's only because you have me that you can be an ach samech, right? And I knew as a little boy there was something wrong with that, and I couldn't put my finger on it, right? But what's that big mitzvah of being happy on Sukkot? And what are we victorious about? So Chazal tell us that the four species also represent the different parts of the human body, right? We shake the lulav 18 times, 6 direction, 3 times in each direction, corresponding to the 18 chuliot shebashedra. We know there are 18, I don't know how you translate it in English, there are 18 vertebrae. Okay. Did you check that there are 18 of those? So I don't want to say vertebrae. Then they'll, in 1 minute, they're going to check. They're going to check and tell me, but there aren't 18.
There's more than 18.
I think there's less. There's only less than 18.
Are there 12? Some people don't even have a backflow.
There's 7, 5.
Did we go with the Torah?
So far you got 12.
But there's another 2 sections.
So it's not vertebrae, thank you.
7 cervical, 7 vertebrae.
12 thoracic?
Oh, so it says the 7 and the 12. The Gemara says there's 1, which it's not clear whether to count it as 1 or not. So it could be that's what the Gemara is talking about when it says, because the Gemara says it's 18 borderline 19. The Gemara says that 19th one, which you're not sure whether to count or not, corresponds to Vela Malshinim.
Did they dissect people in the time of Chazal?
That's a good question with a complicated answer. It does say that they once paid for a person who was going to be burnt by the Roman emperor to dissect the body before he burnt it to count up the limbs. Yeah. The Gemara in Tractate Nida tells us that they paid for the right to do an autopsy. Yeah, of a non-Jewish woman. It's one of the questions we have in autopsies. It's one of the sources. But that's not our topic tonight. Coming back to here, so I'm not sure what chuliyot shebashedra are, but corresponding to the spine, so we shake the lulav 18 times, right? Six direction, three times in each direction. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, in the back, 1, 2, 3, yeah, and then up and down. So 18 times corresponding to the spine. And we know that the etrog corresponds to the heart, and the hadasim correspond to the eyes, and the aravot, because they're leaves, are like the shape of the eye, yeah? And the aravot correspond to the lips, their leaves correspond to the lips. And we also know that the four species correspond to four types of Jews we have. Some people who do Torah and mitzvot, that's the etrog, they have a good taste and a good smell. Some people who do only Torah or only mitzvot, hadasim and lulav is the date tree, right? It has taste and no smell. The hadas has smell and no taste. And finally, the arava has nothing. That's a person who has no Torah and no mitzvot. So Usher Burroughs pointed out a beautiful thought to me. He said, you know, when people look with their magnifying glass, they're always looking at the etrog, right? He says, right, the tzaddik who's got everything right, everyone's always looking at him. If you have Torah and mitzvot, that's the one everyone looks at with a magnifying glass. You don't see people looking at it. So that was a beautiful idea. Yes? Wait. Let's finish before we take questions. Let's finish one idea and then go on.
How do you just have Torah and not mitzvot? How's that possible?
It's very possible.
What does that mean?
Just learn Torah?
A person can learn Torah. It's one of the dangers in learning Torah. Yeah, but the question is ma'asim tovim, not just
but how does
it's
that
a mitzvah.
Not mashvi on someone to do mitzvot, to learning full Torah.
It's a good question. After we finish this, then we'll take other questions if you guys want. Right. But the Gemara says, "Kol ha-lomed Torah bilvad, domeh kemi she'en lo Eloah." One who learns Torah and doesn't have enough good deeds with their Torah, then it's as though they're learning without a God. Meaning there is that balance, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us. But you guys are taking me to a different topic. Let's finish this topic. And the question is, when Chazal tell us that there are these correspondences and the idea that we hold them all together, is that different than the idea that we walk out victorious? Or is the idea of walking out victorious versus the nation connected to the idea that Am Yisrael can unite? That Am Yisrael can also go with the Arava and say, yeah, we're all one, just like we did on Yom Kippur, where we said, Anu matirim nitpalel im avaryanim. Yeah, there are people who are, they're avaryanim. The rest of the year we're very upset at them for doing things that are against the Torah. Now people always say we're going to get together. And on Sukkot we also say it. And part of what we show in shaking the lulav in all the directions, the idea that Am Yisrael is supposed to influence all directions of the world, but the only way they're going to be able to do that is through Achdut. Achdut both as a people and as a person. There are people who want to be Oved Hashem, they know how to be very straight. Are you going to match my schedule? Are you going to be on time? They can work very straight. That's our lulav. Then you have people who everything is feeling. Then you have people who everything is talk. Then you have people who are always looking. We have four components, the Medrash says, with which we can do mitzvot. And you'll notice that there are people who have strengths and weaknesses that revolve around these four things. The lulav, etrog, hadas, arava. There are people who always talk nicely. They don't do much, but they always talk nicely. That's a strength. You can't take that away from them. There are people who are very pleasant and very wonderful, and that's great. It happens to be. What? There is a strength to diplomacy. Diplomacy has its place. People who are always blunt can be very hard to deal with. Yeah. Then you have the people who can see the good in everything. They have their place. Then you have the people who have a very good heart, but they don't know that sometimes you have to go with what's right. It's not just about being kind and having a good heart. And then you have the people that it's always about what's right. And then you put the four together, and the four of them represents a balance that we as individuals and we as a people were looking for. So, is this the reason Hashem gave us the mitzvah, or are these lessons that the mitzvah teaches us? The latter. We don't know the reasoning behind it. Really, there are deeper reasons. And I'll end with a story that I don't understand, but I had the good fortune of talking to the taxi driver.
Now you understand.
Now I understand, right? No, I didn't talk to the taxi driver. I spoke to someone else. I remember now who I hear the story from. The Yom Kippur War broke out when? Who knows? What day of the year? It was Yom Kippur, right? Okay. So.
What coincidence.
Right. It's one of those coincidences, yeah. Okay.
What's how long was the 6-day war? The intelligence wasn't able to figure out when it was going to start.
Yeah. So.
And the last days were just cleaning up.
The Yom Kippur War broke out, and our enemies were advancing from the north, and it seemed like they were unstoppable. And they had broken through our lines, and there was nothing left to stop them till Tel Aviv. But they kept advancing, and they thought, at some point they stopped. And no one knows why they stopped. And there have been books written on why they stopped. So one book claims that this person was in the upper echelons of the Israeli government, and he claims he knows that when the Israeli government saw the rapid advancement from the north, they saw we're finished. And so they sent a message to Russia, it's your choice, but we have a nuclear weapon headed your way. So if you don't stop, you're going to have a nuclear weapon hitting the Kremlin, because we're finished.
We have nothing to lose.
We have nothing to lose, right. There's a whole book written with that theory, that we were threatening the Russians that we would use our nuclear arsenal. And that's when they stopped advancing from the north, because no one has a good explanation for it. So that's one. But there's another story. And the story goes that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was sent by his Rebbe to go to, I don't remember right now, I think it was Kever Rachel, either Kever Rachel or Maror Samachpela, one of the two, right now I don't remember. And he told him, take your Arba Minim and start shaking them over there. And he took a taxi, and he took his Arba Minim, and he headed there. And the driver said, you know there's no mitzvah to shake Arba Minim today. And he said, yeah. And the driver's driving, and they hear on the radio what's going on. And the driver tells him, you know, you might be my last client. And he says, I know, right? And they get there, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu went to shake his Arba Minim. And the story goes that when he shook his Arba Minim, that's when they stopped. That's the story. So, what? It wasn't on Yom Kippur. You check the dates. It was before Sukkot. It wasn't yet Sukkot. I don't think it was on Yom Kippur. The war broke out Yom Kippur afternoon. I don't think it was Yom Kippur that he went. It was on the days in between. I don't know the
second
day.
Day or
what?
Second day or Thursday or something.
Right. It was before Sukkot. The driver looked at Rav Eliyahu like he was crazy. Like, why are you shaking your Arba Minim? So now you'll ask me, why do we shake Arba Minim? So it doesn't say that. What it says in the Tosefta is that the Arba Minim correspond to rain, and that the Arba Minim are a way of us showing that we want our crops to thrive, and it's a way of us showing that these are the crops that Israel produces nicely. So it says in the Tosefta, that's the reason it says in the Tosefta. So we've just spanned four different opinions of why we do the Arba Minim, right? We spoke about walking out victorious. We spoke about the unity of the different aspects of a single individual. We spoke about the unity of Klal Yisrael, and we spoke about them corresponding to rain. All four opinions are in the Midrashim. They're all quoted by Tanaim and Amoran. These are ancient opinions. Do they all fit together? Yes. Does it have to be one or the other? I don't know. Maybe they're all together. Chazal do say a lot about the rain, which was a class we had last year. The idea of the waters above and the waters below. But that we won't discuss this year. You guys can catch it online. Ushavtemayim b'sason. But there definitely are reasons. And if we put them together, we start seeing something very special. Do we know what kavanot to have when we do Arba Minim? Yeah, I'm doing what Hashem told me. That's the kavanah. Can I also see the other things in the Arba Minim? I should see the other things. I should see that we're a unique people that takes and learns to appreciate different aspects of each person, different aspects of us as a people, and the importance of unifying all of them and the blessings that can come of that. And that's our sign, hey, we came out of the Judgment Day victorious. Are there more reasons? Yeah, we covered only four. Those are four classical ones. And like we began, these are concepts we could learn from the mitzvot. Why did Hashem give us the mitzvah? That's already something that's a little bit above us. No, when we do the mitzvah, we do the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do the mitzvah. That's what Hashem said, that's what we do. I want, before we continue, those who we should have a zimun, let's say, bracha achrona.